they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, C-Bass!
Wake up!
Wake up, America!
Wake the fuck up!
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Kill the Mockingbird. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. You know what I mean? It's been a nice Sunday for us. It was raining in the beginning, but now it's nothing but sunshine. We're ready to go, man.
All right. Yeah, man, nothing but sunshine out here on the West Coast. I can report that to be the case. I've gotten plenty of it over the last week, but man, a lot of news going on, a lot of stuff going down on all different fronts. It's been hard to keep up with because I've been pretty busy in my little business ventures. And
I feel you, man. Because I have that other podcast I'm doing. So I got my second episode of Over the Influence out. And now, you know, it was a lot of editing. I did a lot of editing on that one. On these ones, we just kind of go through it. You know what I mean? On that one, I was trying to, oh man, it sucked. But you're right. There was tons of news. There was that news about Melinda Gates allegedly filing for a divorce in 2019, and that I guess it was about the whole Epstein thing. Supposedly, that's the leaked story that's going out there. I don't have any clips of it, but that's kind of like the headlines floating around. Besides the, you know, the COVID mass hysteria that we've been having for forever. You know what I mean? That's something that has been going on. And then the other news, we got that that Thomas Humphrey guy that had just blown up out of nowhere. He's the guy that took the vaccine. I don't know if you saw those videos.
I don't think so.
The guy. Oh, you haven't seen those? Oh man, I forgot to send them to you. Yeah. So some dude in Minnesota, he decided he was gonna film himself and he was walking into the to get the vaccine, and he just went in there with the mask, everything, talked to the people, kind of like made him see. He's like, yeah, is that my vaccine right there? And like, yeah, he took it. Picked it up, took his mask off, and was like, hey, this toxin, this is that, all this. And then he, what's it called? Then he allegedly has sent it to a lab to be tested. That's, I have no idea. I don't know the dude, but he blew up out of nowhere. Like that, I saw when I first saw about it, and I looked at his Instagram because he said he doesn't really go on there from some of the lives I saw, but he had a good 3,000-4,000 followers. That guy's like at 45K now, man. Like, obviously, like people like Sam Tripoli are commenting on it. Like,
hey, that's good. I mean, I feel like there should be some sort of actual review process of what the hell is in those things. Like, we've been seeing some crazy, adverse effects, as they like to say in the industry, but there's been a lot of really shocking stuff coming out, and especially one thing that really hits home, as it should on Mother's Day, is the amount of pregnant women that, you know, go ahead and get vaccinated and then happen to have a miscarriage within a couple weeks after.
But I am weary of it because it is crazy. It is crazy news out of nowhere. Some superhero, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems so scripted. Like, and it doesn't mean that it's scripted or it's like part of a narrative, but who knows? There's a lot of clout chasers. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it seems pretty cool, but who knows? Like, it could be full of shit. Like, I really don't know. But it seems like he's a constitutionalist because he got arrested. He got pulled over. So a lot of people are saying he got arrested for the vaccine, which is not true. He got arrested for, he had, cut up his, a lot of constitutionalists, you know, they cut up their IDs and they send it to the DMV and they get, a letter back. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's like a nationalist.
Citizens.
I forgot what it's called, but, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's exactly what he is. And he was kind of debating the cops about that. They were a little bit irritated on him trying to school them on stuff. So they got him on obstruction or something like that. And then they arrested him, let him out. But then he blew up everywhere because of that one rat girl to Savannah, the one that we talked about last week. Savannah Malm or something like that. That girl on TikTok that pretty much just kind of tries to throw everybody under the bus and rat on everybody and telling them she had posted about him. And I think TMZ TMZ got him. I was kept going. I saw you were frozen, but I was like, let me just keep going. I was just talking about that Savannah Hernandez
girl
we were talking about last week.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Savannah Malm, that TikToker, snitch girl that was like, she reported about him. Like, I don't like her. I'm trying to talk as much shit on her as, I mean, I'm not a TikTok person, but.
I'm with you on that. Like, informants for the state is kind of a no-go area for me.
Yeah, that's always a no-go, man. You can't be ratting on people. But like I said, I don't know if dude is just trying to get clout, if he's part of an agenda. I don't really know, but we'll see. It's pretty interesting, though. That was a pretty interesting part of the week. Other than that, I got a lot of like little clips. Like the first one I'm going to start off with is really funny. Not funny, but like ironic funny. Remember in the beginning of this whole mess last year, we were hearing nothing about like, We need ventilators. Remember, Cuomo made a huge deal about that. Then they found the ventilators in the storage unit. But that was beside the point. Well, here's a little story in a clip I got from a little local news thing from Miami. And it's pretty interesting what's going on with some of these ventilators.
So many questions. Calvin Cruzzi, we're going to take you up to the top of the trash heap in just a minute. We're talking about millions in these ventilators. Remember, those were the most necessary medical equipment for the worst of the COVID patients. So they're trashed, they're gone, they're destroyed, and they're on video. That's making a lot of people really angry. Constant stream of waste, mattresses, tires, and at the top of Trash Mountain.
This is what's up. All these ventilators.
A resident taking garbage to the South Dade landfill last week, stunned to see hundreds of brand new wrapped medical ventilators dumped as bulky trash.
This is what is going on. Brand new.
They tell us here that what's dumped is usually plowed under within a day, so those ventilators are probably gone.
That's crazy. I thought ventilators were the most important thing to save us in this pandemic. And I guess we don't need them so bad that we just throw them away. We just have them in a heap of trash.
Unbelievable. You know, and they talk about like how the system, the healthcare systems are overwhelmed and all these various countries going through the lockdowns and they're, you know, stressed to the point of breaking constantly for over a year now. To the point where people are even like missing vital surgeries for cancer treatments or other sort of diseases that they're, you know, facing. And people are dying because of this this phony hysteria that goes along with it, the fear narrative. It's disgusting. I think there needs to be actual like Nuremberg style trials for some of the medical incompetence that has gone on with this. The ventilators alone is kind of another interesting question. For me, I think that was probably one of the most ineffective, probably, ways of treating COVID. It seems like they, especially when they're operated poorly, I saw a lot of threads and stories on from various anonymous nurses that said, you know, they would have rookie staff come in and dial the pressure or whatever, the system for the ventilators.
Well, that the real problem wasn't the ventilator shortage. The real problem was there wasn't enough technicians that knew how to run ventilators, like you're saying. Like, that was the real problem. But to me, it's just another proof of that they did politicize this. That's how it got politicized, is that, oh, Trump is not giving us enough ventilators. He's killing grandma. He's killing your grandpa. And then it turns out, oh, I guess we didn't need them. We were just throwing them away. So not only did you politicize it, but you literally wasted money.
Yeah, I mean, why not just keep it in storage to actually destroy medical equipment in the middle of the quote-unquote pandemic that's, you know, allegedly used to actually fight it? It's mind-boggling.
Especially when Bill Gates told us to wait for the next one.
Yeah. not looking forward to this going on much longer.
I would suggest anybody that go look up this video on YouTube while I last. it's like Miami dumps or something like that. I'm going to put it in the show notes when I post this on the RSS feed, Apple and Spotify and all that. But yeah, it was kind of disgusting to me. That was the one. That's why I was like, I got to start off with this, man. There's a lot to me that a lot of the stuff I have clips, a few like informational ones about COVID and stuff, but mainly some of them are about rants because you can see there's a huge push for this propaganda, which we've already known. is happening, but they're leaking the propaganda more and more into regular celebrities and these blue check fucks that are trying to dictate people's lives. And I think that's really the problem that's getting infested in people's mind and giving them this COVID hysteria. That's why we're still in this mess.
Absolutely. It is kind of disturbing to see how many, especially like on TikTok, you see a lot of really strangely viral videos about people who are like, oh, I got my second dose, and they're trying to make it like some sort of trendy dance and like jive with this, with whatever music they have in the background going. And it just, for me, it's so phony, but I mean, I imagine it's pretty impressionable on kids and stuff or younger people that aren't maybe as indoctrinated into the political system as a whole. You know, they're not aware of the long-term lies and stuff that have been going on around them. They're, you know, still kind of sleepwalking.
Yeah, and people are, well, it's kind of like the one good thing I will say, because I follow this page. It's like a rap page kind of like, but they put news a little bit. It's called like Say Cheese or something. It's one of those like big mainstream, and they have a lot of up and coming artists, but they posted something. Oh, some guy got busted for selling vaccine cards in California. Like he was at a bar and he got sold.
Heard about that.
All the comments though were, and these are, I'm assuming, like probably people our age and younger, right? Like probably from millennials to all the way to Gen Z. And these people are like, yeah, well, shit, sign me up. Where can I get all the comments? Like a few like talking shit, but mainly all those people are like, yeah, man, how do I get that? Man, I need to get one of those, man. That, ooh, man, this guy's about to make money. Like it was just like, it was nice to see.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard. I'm sure they could do a little research. They could figure it out for themselves.
But all these people were talking about not wanting to take the vaccine. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Good.
How they always say, and these people are not Republicans. And they're probably not Democrats either. They're probably just regular kids like most people, you know what I mean? And just like kind of into music and stuff. And all these people are so skeptical when they're saying it's all these anti-vaxxers and they're saying it's all these Republicans. It's really everybody, because we're all kind of skeptical. We're like, this is kind of weird, doesn't make sense. All the stuff we see on TV, it's so easy to read through now. It's not as difficult as when we were younger, when there's not as, you know, you'd see like the evening news and maybe you'll see a couple clips. Now everybody's breaking news constantly and you're breaking it down, and it's making it easier for, I think, for people to decipher through some of this bullshit.
Yeah, that's a good point about how people are kind of sourcing their information differently, like in terms of really breaking news. I mean, we look back to yesterday, you and I were going back and forth talking about the China rocket and kind of wondering where that was going to land. And we had to find YouTube streams to kind of get an actual live tracking on it. I don't think there was much in the mainstream media. I don't really turn on the TV like that.
Man, I had cable news YouTube feed going, and I had CNN, and I was flipping back to Fox and MSNBC.
Were they following it?
None of them were. They were all playing like pieces. Like CNN was playing like their 70s and 80s pieces where they talk about like the entertainment and the news in the 70s and how it like impacted life and stuff like that. And Fox was just playing some other pieces. And then afterwards, like later at night, because I was still editing after the rocket and shit, and they briefly went over it, but they didn't really like talk about it. Like, you would think they would have like used that as a fear, some kind of fear mongering, but I'm sure because it was CCP, that money was like, oh, we better stay away from that.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think they don't want to draw fear to the wrong things. They want to make sure they can control the narrative as much as possible. And that was a pretty interesting scenario. Like, I feel like it was very undetermined where that was going to land. Even by, you know, the likes of Space Force and the actual, like, government, what is it, like the Skywatch and stuff, like people...
Not astronomers, but...
No, it is astronomers.
Oh, that is the right word?
Yeah.
Give me one second, bro. Yeah. I literally left my lighter over there. So if you could...
Oh, it's all good. I'll just go into an article quick. Since we're still on COVID and vaccines and stuff, Pfizer set to have earned $3.5 billion on COVID-19 vaccine in the first quarter. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine earned the company $3.5 billion in the first 3 months of this year, representing nearly a quarter of its total revenue, the company announced ahead of its earnings call Tuesday. The drug giant said it expects the vaccine to earn $26 billion in total for the year of 2021, based on signed contracts as of mid-April that call for 1.6 billion doses of the shot to be delivered this year. The company's previous forecast was $15 billion for the year, but its first quarter 2021 revenues alone totaled $14.6 billion, an increase of $4.5 billion or 45% compared to the first quarter of 2020. So for me, it just kind of highlights how, if anything, you can see that this is a massive, somewhat indirect transfer of wealth from the people to Big Pharma. If anything else, you don't have to go into, you know, the fertilization problem, if the vaccinated and non-vaccinated shedding, even if you're trying to break through to someone and convince them, follow the money. This is a good way to kind of expose how much there stands to gain for Big Pharma from this rollout of vaccines.
Yeah, and how much they've already made. You know, they've already, and they've are signing new contracts too to get more boosters. And Trudeau signed up for doses for 2022, 2023, and to get more boosters and all this. So yeah, for sure, it's the best marketing scheme known to man. Like that, Pfizer has done an incredible job. Now they might have shot themselves in the foot. Like we were talking, I think, last week about the, you know, kind of running bad stories on the J&J vax, because that kind of has gotten people. Because if you noticed, once that happened, the hesitancy got really, a lot of people kind of stopped in their tracks. They're like, I don't know, man. Like, and they started looking into stuff. And I think that was where people are giving us an ear. And the shedding thing is crazy because people are getting taken down for that. I don't have any clips for that, but I was listening to a few podcasts, and they've been.
I've been doing some research, man. It is crazy.
To that many people, and not too,
in like an unbelievable sort of way. Like I think it's entirely possible. I think it shouldn't be something you lose sleep over, but or friendships. Hopefully, at the same time, maybe be careful about who you swap fluids with until actual long-term studies comes out. You know, that's what I'm taking into consideration for sure.
Yeah, and when some of these people are saying they're you can't shed synthetic proteins, but you can shed regular proteins, like that's stupid. Like that makes no sense. That's illogical to say some stupid shit like that. And then they like to say, oh well, I'm a doctor, so I'm a farmer. I hate when these people that are not even really in the medical field like to chime in, and like as they're better than everybody. Like, I've been working at a pharmacy for 20 years. Okay, fuck a pharmacy tech, man. That's not the same as being a virologist. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand if you're a virologist, but still, questions are questions, man. Common sense is common sense. When you sneeze, are you saying that only COVID proteins come out and no other things come out of your obviously would come out. Anything in your system is going to shed. Now, is it affecting people? I don't know. But to me, it's alarming if that many people are talking about it. It's not just 10 people. It's not just 20 girls. It's hundreds of thousands that are still coming out with it. And I think that's something we got to look into. And I'll jump to this. This is just going to something I'll play later. But I got three clips of Del Bigtree. You know, I don't know. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are familiar with him. And he's talking about the VARS, you know, the VARS or VARS or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah.
The reaction. VARS. Yeah. And he's breaks down. I have three clips of it. One's like about 2 minutes. One's about like 30 seconds. And the other one's like a minute something. But he talks about how they were already looking into this and how they're trying to make it seem like now that it's a bunch of people, like a bunch of wax jobs that are like, oh, man, they're just filling out anything. And I told this to somebody on Twitter the other day. They were like, oh, anybody can fill it out. And I was like, so then how come they haven't been doing this? Like, if all these if there's so many anti-vaxxers that have been around for so many years and this system has been around for so many years, how come they haven't used this tactic before then? So now all of a sudden, no, it's because they're trying to deny what's really going on.
Nobody ever enforced theirs. Most doctors, if you ask them, don't even know what it is. They couldn't tell you. They're not using it. And this was exemplified when in 2010, the CDC took $1 million in taxpayer money to investigate VARS to see how efficient it was at capturing all of these vaccine injuries. And what they discovered, and by the way, part of the job of that $1 million was to try and automate a system. Could they automate it so that it would capture all of the injuries? So what they discovered in their study was that VARS is capturing less than 1% of the total amount of injuries that are occurring. That was a shocking discovery. We knew it was underreporting at some level. Nobody realized it was really that bad. They also automated their own Harvard Pilgrim health system and showed that they could capture all of the injuries so that better data collection could happen. And what's really horrific is at the end of that study, it says, the writers say, once we had all this information, once we had gotten the automated system online, we reached out to the CDC to then implement it into a national system. The CDC stopped returning our phone calls, stopped returning our emails, absolutely just shut down, never responded to Harvard again on that study. So here you had the CDC, Harvard, the greatest medical school in the world, had developed a way to automate it so that we would be better at capturing these injuries. And instead, CDC shut it down because it didn't like what it was seeing when it was seeing all of the injuries. And now we find ourselves in this moment where the FDA and the CDC are telling us, unfortunately, we don't have a good surveillance system for the amount of the 100 million vaccines we've just or more given out here in America. We really don't have a good way of tracking the health outcomes of those systems.
So Harvard found flaws in their system, found ways to improve it, and the CDC refused it because it made them look bad. It didn't look good on their side, or it didn't not necessarily make them look bad, but it made their financiers look bad. Like you said, following the money, the big pharma, not necessarily Moderna because they're kind of new into the game, but Pfizer has been in the game for a long time. Johnson & Johnson's been in the game for a long time, and that's what they were doing. And then he breaks down to then the next clip, how the numbers. He does a good job on breaking down like how the percentages are.
I did a show last week where we cross-referenced several different parts of VAERS, whether it was anaphylaxis or different things. And what we proved, and I'm not going to go through it because it took me 40 minutes to do it, but we proved it's still only capturing 1%, which means when we look at the 3,000, roughly 200 deaths that are on VAERS right now from the coronavirus vaccine, we must assume, based on what Harvard said and what our cross-referencing study showed us, that means that 300, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 320,000 people or more have been killed by this vaccine, and it's only been out for 3 months. And so when we get back to that conversation of Bill Gates saying, this is the best way forward, that risk reward ratio disappears. We have, you know, over 500,000 deaths supposedly from COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. We already have over 300,000 deaths in 3 months. This vaccine is tracking to kill far more people than the virus ever dreamed of killing.
So 1%. And when you argue with people, or when people's argument is that these are misinformation, like people are just throwing that, like, it's just crazy because, like, when we question the COVID numbers, right, we're like, hey, this guy died. Oh, he died of COVID. Well, and we questioned any of that. We were told automatically it had to be COVID. Now, if someone dies a day, an hour, a couple of days after the vaccine, like, we're not allowed to question it. It could be oh, because they're old. And that's what he goes into this next clip. He talks about the nursing homes and how it proves that they're only getting that 1%, that it's way off.
Everywhere where we have a massive vaccine program, we see this skyrocketing rate of death immediately. It's happening in India right now. In India was tranquil. They were having no issue with coronavirus. Then the vaccine arrives, and now all of our headlines are saying that COVID-19 is killing and spreading like wildfire. It's very similar in the nursing homes. But what I pointed out about the nursing homes when we were cross-referencing VAERS was that the CDC actually did an interesting thing. When they were going to release the coronavirus vaccine in the first place, they were going to do it in nursing homes. They kind of hedged their bet. This was a meeting that happened at the ACIP, Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And they basically said, we know there's going to be a rise in reports to the VAERS system once we start vaccinating the elderly in nursing homes. But what we want to point out is that has a background death rate, that those people are already going to be dying at a much higher rate than your average person. And so they said, in this time period, we expect you will see 11,400 reported deaths to VAERS from the vaccine, but it will just be a temporal, you know, association because they were going to die anyway. That's the expected background death rate. What was fascinating is when we looked at bears in that same time period, there was only 129 reported deaths. Now, they celebrated that and said, look how low it is. Wait, what do you mean? So the vaccine dropped the death rate in nursing homes? No, it didn't. It showed that it was exactly what we knew to be true. That was 1% of the death rate you were expecting.
See, it just proved it. Because what they expected, and they're like, oh, we only got 129. No, because only 1% is actually what's reported. So it's vastly underreported.
Yeah, and even then, like, they've had a massive increase in the numbers because of the – it coincides nicely with the timing of the rollout of the vaccines. Kind of jumping to a little bit of a personal connection or, like, story I heard through a friend. She – her mother basically is a caretaker for an elderly woman. The daughter of this woman talks her into getting the vaccine, and she passed away within 3 days. And they had been trying to talk her out of it, saying, you know, you've made it a whole year without getting COVID, and there's been a pandemic going through the country, and like, it's, you know, they were trying to kind of reason with her because they're, you know, critical thinking individuals, and I you know, have a lot of love for that family. And they did their best. They were trying to reason with the family that they were, you know, caring for this elderly woman. And the daughter talks the mom into it, elderly woman, and then she passes a few days later. And it's like, you can just see this coming, especially for people who are very, like, aware and on top of the situation and questioning everything. And it's tragic because you're trying to help people around you, and they don't want your help. They're fighting against it.
Yeah, well, I would say
it's a tough situation.
Yeah, but it's tough because, like, I understand, like, you're correct with what you're saying, but I think it's hard because people are, like, super stuck in, like, fear and indoctrination of over the years of actually thinking that the government is going to do the right thing for them. They have a lot of faith in that those are good people, that sometimes they make bad mistakes, like, whatever party they're in. There's a lot of people that have that blind trust.
The cognitive dissonance.
And that's so difficult to break through because there's some great people, and that's the tough part, is that what makes it harder is, like, obviously if they were assholes, we'd be like, fuck it, man. Bye-bye. Like, you know what I mean? But it's these good people, but it's just been so hard because, you know, for a lot of us, like, I would say, like, millennials and down, like, we already had our fights with it. Like, we already saw through the media at younger ages than a lot of our parents and grandparents and such, and we're not as there is a lot that are indoctrinated as well, but there is a large population of us that have seen through this shit for a long time. And we had the pleasures of having comics and certain rappers and certain, like, big figures and public figures that, like, spoke out against this, maybe not the total truth or the message, but they said enough that shook us up, that got us to look into our own ways and trying to find stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of when those the free thinking members of the, you know, the celebrity elite drop those subtle red pills, you know, within their music or their art or whatever, just to kind of let people know. I mean, some people could say that's predictive programming as well to a degree, but you know, I'm a big fan of when people speak out and, you know, ask the tough questions, because we don't get enough of that. You know, everything's a script, especially on, like, cable television and the big news networks, mainstream media. You know, if they don't like what's going on, they'll just basically cut that person off from the dialogue.
Yeah, but also change your argument, man. Don't stick with that same argument. That's why I keep trying to tell people, too, like, I know we all fall victim to that, but try not to fall victim to the same argument over and over. Like, if you're seeing that you're not getting, and you really want to get through to that person, like, if you don't want to get through to them, it doesn't matter. But if you want to get through to them, you're going to have to constantly keep changing your argument and different approaches that are going to be ways to bring them towards thinking to themselves and figuring out, like, what this means for them. Like, I would think this is a good one. So I call this clip Mix and Match. This is an NPR clip, and they're kind of like, remember in the beginning, they were like, man, if you get a Pfizer, you better get a Pfizer. If you get a Moderna, you better get a Moderna, right? Now they're talking about this whole mixing and matching and this might be the best way.
The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are very similar, both based on the same technology, so switching between them is probably not that big a deal. But in the United Kingdom, researchers have begun to study whether using two completely different vaccines is as good or even better than using the same one twice. Technically, this is known as heterologous vaccination, but there's a more colloquial description.
In the UK at the moment, we're sort of calling it mix and match.
Helen Fletcher is a professor of immunology at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. She says shortages of a vaccine or concerns about side effects may induce health officials to adopt a mix and match strategy. That could mean starting with what's called a viral vector vaccine, like the one made by AstraZeneca, and following with an mRNA vaccine, like Pfizer or Moderna. Health agencies in France and Germany have already begun recommending people consider doing that.
So there's a practical reason why you would want to mix two different types of vaccine, but there is also a scientific reason as well.
Here's why. Fletcher says basically all vaccines work by showing people's immune system something that looks like an invading virus but really isn't. If the real virus ever comes along, their immune systems will recognize it and be prepared to fight it off. Using two different vaccines is a bit like giving the immune system two pictures of the virus, maybe one face on and one in profile.
If you give two different types of vaccine, then you tend to get a better immune response than if you give the same vaccine twice.
My interpretation of that whole clip is like, let us just inject you with a bunch of shit and you probably won't get sick. Probably being the key word.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to gamble on one pharmaceutical poison vaccine? Oh, why not gamble on two? It's madness. I feel like, yeah, man, I'm ashamed that the Brits are pushing this first, you know, their little catchphrases, mix and match vaccines. I'm sure it'll come here too, but it's highly questionable to say the least. Why would you even want to experiment like that? They have no long-term studies of the actual one vaccine per, you know, dosages for what, like they don't have long studies for each vaccine, but they want you to mix and match and, you know, there's not going to be any consequences for mixing two things that they haven't actually tested for. It's clown world. Every week it goes deeper and deeper into clown world.
Yeah, like I know like some people might, I find it funny because I'm like, I mean, it's just like, really, like, how could you even come to that conclusion? Like you said, that sounds so stupid. Like, you're like, ah, probably, like, see, what happens is, like, this one will fuck you up and this one will fuck you up. But if we mix it together, it will, like, not fuck you up. You know, positive plus positive. And you're like, what? Like, that just sounds like I'm going to get more fucked up. Like, it sounds like it's going to be even worse for me.
I would imagine the reactions would be
That's
worse.
That's what I would think, too. But, I mean, I guess people
it's
like...
crazy, man. I got an interesting article that kind of segues with that. I'll just go quickly through it from The Guardian. New Zealand fires 9 border workers who refused COVID vaccine. The New Zealand's customs agency fired 9 border workers who refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The country has required all frontline border workers to be vaccinated by the end of April. We're already past that a little ways. But in February, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, said the government would not be making the vaccine compulsory for frontline staff and that those who declined the vaccine would be moved into backroom roles. But no other work could be found to redeploy the 9 workers. So they were fixed. They were in a fixed term employment at the maritime border and now they're laid off. Just goes to show they're going to use their, you know, narrative manipulation and coercion to either, you know, have you bend your elbow or bend the knee to get the vaccine, or you're going to lose your employment if they can control that that business that you work for, or if it's for the government.
Yeah, what they're trying to do, too, is they're trying to, get people to, so the people that they're already convincing to take it, instead of the government coming to us and being like, you better do this or we're going to throw you in jail, they're making those people upset and be like, well, you could have more freedoms, but these other jerk offs over here don't want to take it. So that makes them mad and tries to pin them against us. And then they go like, hey, well, you anti-vaxxers, we would have everything. We'd be fine right now if you guys would have just be taking the vax. And first of all, it's not even available like that. That's the one thing first. And then my other thing is like, how could we ever reach herd immunity, this new fake herd immunity where they say, you know, like everybody got to be vaccinated. If it only lasts 6 months to 12 months, it's going to take 6 months to 12 months to get everybody vaccinated. So in theory, wouldn't there be a bunch of people that had just took the vax that now the vax wore off? And it doesn't make sense, man. It seems like a never ending like shot. That's what I don't think people understand. It's like, if you get this shot, it sounds like they want you to get a shot for the rest of your life. I'm not saying that you will have to, but I'm saying that's how they're marketing it. You know what I mean? They're like, well, man, well, this one, you're pretty good, but we got this booster. It's going to work better. They're going to just keep marketing it. And I'm like, well, you're just going to let them inject you with anything? Like, I don't know. I think that's crazy. Like I said, if people want to sign up and do that, be my guest. That's your freedom. That's your individual choice. But don't tell us we got to do that shit.
Yeah, we're going to be strictly in the control group of this experiment.
We need a control group. So you do you, we'll do us.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes in 5 years.
Yeah, we're marking it right here.
That's fascinating.
So I want to go into a Fauci, because Fauci, they had Fauci on CNN, because I was doing a little, you know, I'm doing the Lord's work, man.
They
I'm
always
the
have
Lord's work. I'm watching CNN, man. It gets so, man,
I can't even turn it on. I don't even click the any links that go to CNN. I just won't give them the traffic, just like Twitter.
I know, man, but I like to see what everybody's saying on that side. And it's just real. They're just so dramatic, man, about everything. Like, it's like, I can imagine seeing them at a party. Like, they're like, you didn't even know, man. Like, my girl, you're like, damn, calm yourself, bro. Life's, it's going to be all right, man. Someone needs to like give them a hug or something. Like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't have like, I don't know what they didn't have, but. Fauci, you know, he's doing his typical doomer, like, hey, you know, well, we could get freedoms, but if...
Give everyone a sense of what the country is going to look like next Mother's Day.
Well, George, I hope that next Mother's Day we're going to see a dramatic difference than what we're seeing right now. I believe that we will be about as close to back to normal as we can. And there's some conditions to that, George. We've got to make sure that we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated. When that happens, the virus doesn't really have any place to go. There aren't a lot of vulnerable people around. And where there are not a lot of vulnerable people around, you're not going to see a surge.
Fuck Fauci.
You're not.
Fuck him, dude. He's not a practicing doctor. He hasn't seen a patient in probably 30 years. Like, why do we have to... take his opinion as gospel. It's maddening that the media just gives him so much play.
This is a cult, man. Let me show you how this is a cult. So I've posted stuff, you know, they have like the Run from DMC. He's doing DMC from Run DMC. He's doing that little vaccine song. We've showed that one like mass song like last year in December or something. There's all these like cringy, like, songs where they're in love. Well, here's really cringeworthy, and to prove that this is a cult, this is a song, somebody like a remake from a song, and it's on TikTok, and it's all for Dr. Fauci. You know the Tony, I'm your biggest fan. I'm trusting everything you tell me, Dr. Fauci. That's some cult ass shit, man. What the fuck? Like, I heard that shit. And yeah, I know.
I've been seeing a few different, you know, free media sources, and one in particular, the Lotus Eaters from the UK. They were covering like a whole plethora of these songs that were just kind of, you know, simping for Fauci and going, you know, pro vaccine and stuff. And there's so much cringe. And the funniest thing about it is, for me, it's like, they have zero creativity. It's all parodies. It's all, you know, going off of other people's original songs. And, you know, it just shows this desperation, and they're just trying to appeal to nostalgia for propaganda's sake.
When they were, I get it marketing wise when they were doing, when they're just doing like a Pfizer, like talking about Pfizer, but when they're like talking about Fauci, I'm like, man, you're talking about him like he's some Lord from some God, like that's your gospel. Like, to me, it just sounds like a Mormon knocking on my door. Like, have you heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like the same shit. And it's just crazy that they can't see how insane they sound and look and absurd that they get mad and upset if we question anything. We're not allowed to question one thing, but they're allowed to question whenever they want when it comes to the agenda that they have, you know, whether it be gender equality or whatever, you know, they have their own. And we have our own opinions on that, but they don't want to hear that either. They only want to hear, the only answer they want is the answer that they want us to have. And I'm like, that shit ain't gonna happen. I don't give a fuck. Like, you could put a social fucking credit score all you fucking want. You could do whatever the fuck you want. I'm gonna say whatever the fuck I want. That's all I always have done. And they gonna stop that. But man, I'd never seen, I mean, I've seen people like fanatic, but like, just like such fanatic for the state. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just crazy. Like, Dr. Fauci is part of the state. And they're like praising him like he's saving lives. And I'm like, well, he hasn't really even done anything. You know what I mean? He's not like, he's not even creating the vaccine. He's just telling us like, probably a lot of people will die, so probably do this. And then he goes,
he's been giving us bad information for over a year now. It's like contradicting himself back and forth. At first he's saying, oh, you know, don't get masks. It's okay. You don't need masks, you know, quote unquote, to help the supply chain, keep the medical frontline workers equipped with their PPE. And then he goes back and says, oh, everyone needs to wear a mask, but a bandana is okay, you know, or a slight mesh mask. It's funny. I saw a person, a little clip, a video of someone getting kicked off of a flight for wearing like a beekeeper mesh hat. And I'm like, what's wrong with that? That seems pretty perfectly legit. You know, because I want to air travel someday and I hate wearing masks.
Yeah, I know. But it just has to have a lot of people on the same, like, we have to have people on the same wavelength. And we got to continue these conversations, even for these stubborn people. And I know they don't like me because, like, I talk a lot of shit. But, like, if they were really to have a conversation with me, I would listen to them and I would have a real conversation. But if we're going to have this shit talking back and forth, I'm like, oh, that's easy, man. I could do that all day. But they don't ever want to come. The only time, every time, I swear to God, when I ask somebody like that's more like a social justice warrior, every single time I ask them, like, hey, you know, do the podcast, how many downloads do you get per episode? How many? Oh, so that's all that matters to you then? Like, I'm like, man, I just do this shit.
Their clout. That's all that they want. They're clout chasing.
Which is fine, but I'm like, how do you, then you're not going to change anything. You know what I mean? You're not. You don't want to have a real conversation. I'm like, to me, I don't care. And it could actually be great entertainment because it's great, always great. And look at the greatest sitcoms, the greatest television, the greatest music is usually forces that don't go together usually. And you're like, I don't know why it works, but it works. And we could probably find solutions to shit, but they refuse to have a conversation. And if they do have a conversation, but they'll go on the bigger platforms, they just use the same rhetoric, the same agenda. There's no real discussion. It's just like, you know what I mean? It's all like scripted. Boom, 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 this. And you're like, I heard this before. I heard that before. I would love to see one of these social justice warriors step up and actually have a good discussion, a debate, whatever they want, any topic they want. But let's see if it happens.
It's interesting because they always have a convenient out for, you know, actually having these discussions, the debate go forward. Whether it's COVID, they don't want to meet in person and stuff. You see it on various podcasts around the like free media. It's very hard for them to get on leftist guests. The woke community just seems to not be really willing to discuss their ideas on anywhere other than platforms that are, you know, highly controlled and censored.
Yeah,
which is an interesting tale in itself.
In their own channels, where it's an echo chamber, where they can have a bunch of people come to their rescue, and like to me, I look at it as like, okay, we're talking shit on comments, whatever. I don't really take it either way. It doesn't really matter because I don't know you, you don't know me. But what I'm saying is they're going up to these approaches and they're saying, I know this is like someone would probably call me right wing. I guarantee you there's probably that right wing guy.
I guarantee they would think you're right wing.
And that's crazy. And I'm like farthest.
You're a libertarian, man.
And I'm the farthest. Like, I'm like, dude, you don't even know like my ideology. And some of it might line up with some of yours. You know what I mean? They don't realize that. But automatically they come at me. Oh, you're this automatically. I already know. And they think that, oh, well, he's against masks and he must be a Trump guy. Like, it's been like that through the whole course. But through that, I've had more conversations with people on the right. On all sides of the right, like from the more of the center to the farther right to like, you know what I mean? The centristish, like kind of like half and half, the libertarianish, like all those people.
But all willing to debate, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I had one progressive dude that did we tried to set something. It didn't work out, but I'll give him credit. He tried. It just didn't work out. He didn't understand how to use Instagram. And it was just because he was new. I don't know. So I was just like, he tried. He was just a regular dude, though. He wasn't like, you know, anybody with a big page. But any of these dudes that like have a following, they won't say shit, because I will crush them, especially any of these white liberals, man. I swear to God, I will crush any white liberal on any debate, on any discussion, because they don't know shit. They be talking about the hood and shit, and they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
It's funny too, because that crowd or that kind of signature demographic is typically college educated, right? They have their degree in whatever they chose to go into. They think very highly of themselves and yet, you know, fail to actually stand up for their beliefs and debate someone who has, you know, contradictory ideas. For me, that's a big indicator of a weak foundation of your ideology.
Well, and to me, a lot of these social justice warriors, especially that are college educated, I feel they're the ones that have that superior attitude. They feel like that since went to schooling, that they have more knowledge than you. And I'm like, you forget that we live in an age where everybody can get knowledge now. That book that you read,
it's called the information age, right?
You know what I mean? We can go anywhere and read the same books you read. I can look up tons of stuff. Like, so your assumptions that I'm some conspiracy theorist or I'm this and that. No, I'm a skeptic. At heart, I'm a skeptic, because you can ask anybody. I get conspiracy people get pissed at me. Other truthers, not like pissed, but I get into those debates because I play the devil's advocate on everything. Someone will tell me something and I'm going to flip it on. That's just how I play. That's my role. These people will not, they just can't be questioned. I feel like that's their problem, is they've never been questioned in their life. They've always been told like, yeah, it's that American Idol syndrome. You're no, you're the smartest ever. Everybody knows you're the smartest. You're the smartest in that small little group, in that little echo chamber that you've built. But when you come out of that and you come into the real world, it's totally different, because logic goes all the way around. There's not just certain like, oh, I have all the knowledge, because nobody has all the knowledge. There's a bunch of stuff that you could learn from me that I could learn from you. But when you think that you have that, they think that they're superior to us, that we're some idiots. Huh, they don't. And then we look at them as idiots, too, because we're like, you just believe the government. You're not questioning anything. You're saying that everything in that book is factual. And then even worse than that, they're hypocritical, because they go, oh, that book is nothing but lies. I'm like, yeah, but that was it's government made. So that's lies. But this part of the government's truth. So you're really like really off, because at least me, I don't trust the government all the time. You trust this part of the government, but not this part. But you trust this part, but not this part. That's insanity.
It is. It really is. Just look at the whole vaccine rollout thing. And then at the same time, the virtue signaling crowd is saying the government is systemically racist. Which one is it? You trust them with putting poison in your, or putting an unknown substance with unknown outcomes into your body, or the government systemically racist? Which one?
Consistency, I'm not people. Sure. Consistency. That's what
the
I say.
The mental gymnastics that they go through is entertaining, at least. I mean, I enjoy it now.
I think
I used to be kind of disturbed by it, but yeah. Now it's kind of entertainment for me.
Yeah, it is to me too. Like, because they can't even see their, and that's the only problem too, is like some of these confrontations, I wish people would kind of like reverse some of the logic on them. Like, you got to, like, I don't know if it would work, because obviously in a mob mentality, you have a lot more balls, because you have like, you're like, I got 30 people behind me, and then there's one person talking shit. But I don't know, man. Their logic is just so stupid. It's like, okay, so you trust Fauci, but you don't trust the chief of police. Like, I'm not saying you should trust either. I'm just saying at least you would think, if you don't trust the police, then you wouldn't trust any government. you can't say, oh, the government and the whole government systematically racist. But, you know, Fauci knows what he's talking about. What? Like, that makes no sense. Like, that's just idiotic. Like, what kind of logic is that? And then we're supposed to believe you? Like, that's why people laugh at these people, because you make no sense. And all these other people that just jumped on this hot topic, like, it's just the, you know, the thing of the hot button right now, like the hot take. So I got to be on this side. My friends are on this side. But you can tell that they're still trying to bait us back into this vaccine. Because what's it called? Do you remember that Dr. Leanne Wayne?
Yeah, didn't she work
the carrot on the stick lady? Yeah, the carrot on the stick lady that was like.
Right.
All right. So since I was watching CNN this weekend, I got a couple clips of her. And she's kind of reiterating that and reinforcing the we need to show people that they can get freedoms. You know what I mean? Like show them like what they need to do.
We're going to get to herd immunity through a balance of those who've had it and those who've got vaccinated. So this conversation is all about how that will be balanced. And if we can get there through more vaccination, fewer people will get sick and die. How's that?
Well, I certainly agree with you on everything you said in your intro. I also, though, am not sure that we are going to reach herd immunity. I mean, the other scenario here is that we get a decline in the number of infections because of increasing vaccinations over the summer. That's really good. But I also fear that people are going to get complacent. They're going to see that things are returning to normal. They can go about doing things that they can, that they were able to before, regardless of whether they were vaccinated. And what I really worry about is that those people who are already on the fence don't get vaccinated. We don't reach herd immunity come the fall. And then with the winter, because coronaviruses are winter respiratory viruses, we have a big resurgence. Maybe we have variants coming in from other countries, and we could start this whole process all over again and have another huge pandemic come the winter. And so that's why getting to herd immunity now, as much as possible, is really important. And because we don't have the incentives in place, exactly as you said, I don't know that we'll get there.
She's crazy, man. She just like makes no sense. Like I was saying, but if they say it only lasts 6 months to 12 months, so someone took it in January, right? It's almost July. If I take it in August, right? Then couldn't they still get it? So like, what's the point then? Like it makes.
Well, that's the thing. I've even seen a meme today from someone who's kind of pro team vaccine for COVID stuff, and they're saying like, oh, like. It reduces the mortality rate after you get vaccinated to only like a majority asymptomatic spreaders, right? But with that logic, they're still spreading it around everywhere. So it doesn't make sense to me. I have an interesting article that
Before you say that, I'll let you jump in that. But like, remember too, the CDC now said that to change the PCR CT values to 28. To any person that's been vaccinated. So when they test
only them. Not the unvaccinated.
So that means that they're like what we've been saying from the get-go. I mean, like from the godfather of fucking all this shit, Kerry Mullis, who invented the PCR test, who has said repeatedly, especially during the whole AIDS pandemic and epidemic, saying that it does not prove infection. All it does is amplify molecules. And tells you that you have that in your system. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah, they kind of slid that in under the radar.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, they've readjusted the whole PCR thing now. And it just kind of, for me, highlights back to something we were talking about. Like, it's going to be, going forward, a push for, like, a caste-tier society. You know, the unvaccinated have one sort of treatment and regulations set around them, and then the vaccinated themselves get another form of treatment. But it's interesting. I have an article here from Bloomberg. World's most vaccinated nation activates. World's most vaccinated nation activates curb as cases rise. The Seychelles, which has fully vaccinated more of its population against coronavirus than any other country, has closed schools and canceled sporting activities for 2 weeks as infections surge. The measures, which include bans on intermingling of households and early closure of bars, come even as the country has fully vaccinated more than 60% of the adult population with two doses of COVID-19 vaccines. And it's crazy because aren't the vaccines supposed to be stopping this? But the most stringent lockdowns or pretty stringent lockdowns, but the highest vaccination rate, and they're seeing a rise on the trend of like 40%.
And they're also talking, if you notice a lot on the mainstream media as well, they're talking about the positives. Like we highlighted a couple weeks ago, I think, with the Boris Johnson talking about how the lockdowns really are what saved everything, not the vaccines. And you're hearing a lot more rhetoric about how important the lockdowns were. And, you know, I know it affected the economy, but it was if we didn't, we would have lost this. And these numbers, the same thing as they say that the vaccine, like, you know how they would be like, the vaccine, it will make the mortality rate less. There's no actual proof of that. How is there proof? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like when they say the mask, those are like just things you can throw out there where you can't prove. There's no way you can prove that, like, without having a study. You know what I mean? You'd have to have, and all the, I can't believe I forgot this clip, but I did forget this clip. All the people in the placebo trials have all taken the vaccine now.
We've covered that before. I think I brought it up a couple times, but yeah.
Yeah, and I had another clip of it, and I forgot
the control group. So the data is basically out.
Our argument should be like, look, man, I get it. You take the vaccine. I'm not taking it because we need a control. You know what I mean? We need a control group.
We do.
How are we going to be a proper experiment? So I'm part of the control group. You take the vaccine.
Yes. Reject.
Not you, but
reject modern society. Embrace the, you know, big pharma experiment.
Yeah, that's up to you. And I have another interesting clip right here. It's a little bit of some leaked news that about CCP and this virus. I don't know if you've heard about this. Some documents.
First tonight, new details from a document produced by Chinese military scientists where they discuss weaponizing SARS coronaviruses 5 years before the pandemic hit. The book was written by People's Liberation Army scientists and senior Chinese public health officials back in 2015. It describes SARS coronaviruses as heralding, and I quote, a new era of genetic weapons. It says they can be artificially manipulated into an emerging human disease virus, weaponized and unleashed in a way never seen before. One of the authors of this book is the former deputy director of China's Bureau of Epidemic Prevention, Li Feng, and the editor-in-chief of the paper, Zhu Dezhong, was the leader of the SARS Epidemic Analysis Expert Group under the Chinese Ministry of Health. He reported to the top leadership of the Chinese Military Commission and the Health Ministry during the 2003 SARS crisis. He briefed them 24 times. He also prepared 3 reports for the General Office of the Communist Party's Central Committee and the General Office of the State Council. He gave 2 big interviews on Chinese state TV and appeared in 6 news articles. He was responsible for 16 national and military command topics. Now, just to be clear, before I go on and bring you new information from this document, while intelligence agencies suspect, and they've been investigating this since early last year, that COVID-19 may be the result of an accidental leak from a Wuhan lab, there's no suggestion it was an intentional release.
I mean, it goes back to the gain of function research. Like, that's what it boils down to. It's obviously something that all these superpowers have been working on, and it's something they don't want known. And it sounds like America and China were working together. And I don't know if they were going to double cross each other or what their plan is, but it sounds like that the lab is ground zero for this whole
100%. It's funny, I had an article for that story as well, but it's good to highlight that in particular because since 2015 they've been discussing this. So yeah, it very much does tie to the, you know, Wuhan lab and the gain of function studies, but in a more intrinsic way it kind of connects to a cause and effect sort of scheme for, you know, global governance of a new world order, one world government, where the Chinese, you know, kind of self-released it on themselves, had this very stringent lockdown, they supposedly got over COVID right away. You know, you saw the New Year's celebrations in Wuhan itself compared to Times Square was shut down. And we have all these authoritarian measures that we copycatted from the CCP. So I feel like it was a big, I don't want to say false flag, but it was a kind of a trigger to jump a lot of the Western nations into a much more authoritarian footing on their way of the method of governing their populaces.
Yeah, and it gave them the weapon of what the CCP does is the people. Is yes. When you can get people attached emotionally to certain issues, they're going to police themselves and they're going to tell on people. And you're starting to see that big time. I know I've talked about this many times, but this ratting and snitching culture has become so prevalent. Like people are just telling on, man, really, like, it's crazy. And a lot of these people try to dox people. Like, you could dox me all you want, but I'm not stupid. Like, I don't got a bunch of shit all over. I mean, a lot of the people that get doxxed, unfortunately, you get doxxed because, you know, they have information on their Facebooks or they have, like, you know what I mean? You got to be careful nowadays because people are looking to try it. If you have a sensitive job, you know what I mean, where you could get in trouble, unfortunately, it's tougher for those people to speak truth because they don't want to lose their job. And there is a lot of snitches out there that will report them, that will anything they say, you know, like whether it be on some where someone thinks that they said something, the wrong verbiage or the wrong pronouns, or and then people got cameras everywhere. And what people are doing is when they're getting into these instances, I would say they pull their camera out and then the other people will see the video and then they go, oh, who's that? And then someone says who it is. They go find who he is. Where's his Facebook? Where does he live? Here's his house. So on and so forth. So I say, and I didn't make this up. I heard this off No Agenda, my favorite podcast. John C. Dvorak, he said, when they pull out that camera on you, you fucking pull out that camera on them. Like, right away, you got to do it, no matter what, because...
Even if you're not filming, just point it back at them.
Well, no, I say film, because then you could see, like, only because, like, it's almost the same thing as, like, the cops with the body cam, right? Like, whether there's good cops, bad cops, the body cam's going to show, right? When you see the both angles, because we know that people... will only show the part that, like, if they're cussing you out, they're not going to show that part. You know what I mean? All the bad part, they're going to cut. They're going to only make the video to where it makes you look bad. So you got the other piece and you just hold on to that. You're like, oh, man, you know what I mean? And then try your best to, like, because a lot of these people are just trying to get that viral moment, you know, like, oh, I got him. I told him. See, he's the anti-vaxxer. I don't give a fuck. But I'll be like, oh, yeah, motherfucker. Well, shit. Like, we got to fight fire with fire and be like, and joke with them. And to me, I think, like, instead of, like, I mean, like I said, I found victim to this shit, but let's not, like, interact with trying to fight them or anything like that. Let's, like, make jokes about them, like, but funny jokes, though. Like, you know
clown
what I'm saying?
On them.
Yeah, like, let's just
clown on them.
Yeah.
Dab on them.
And I would say, especially if they're a super social justice warrior telling you about a mask or anything, I would tell them, then I guess you support the white supremacy hierarchy of the police force to enforce unjust laws on people. I guess that's so. What are you fighting against? And, you know, just throw their mind into a warp. Like, don't let them think they're getting to us, because then when they see us mad or they think they won, you know, like, ah, I got them. You know what I mean? Be like, man, just laugh all this shit off. And like I said, pull your camera out, though, because you're going to have evidence on all this shit nowadays.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say, yeah, pull your camera out, turn it back on them, and don't be afraid to, you know, hit them with some off-the-cuff sort of banter or insults, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's it. I'm thinking about getting a GoPro hat, man.
That's the thing. We're on the creative side of the debate. Like, look at all the truther community and people around it in general is, like, creating memes, creating all these edits and stuff. Like, it's way more creative than, like, going back to where we're the little Fauci simping songs and stuff like that. It's like, we are the creative side and just smash them with insults verbally. No need to get physical. And if you have to, just walk away. It's not worth your time anyways. But it's an interesting connect. I have an article that kind of ties to that. Did you see the clip of the pregnant woman who was in line at the grocery store and dude starts filming her because she's not wearing a mask and, you know, saying all this stuff? He's like, I lost multiple family members from coronavirus and you're endangering people's health by not wearing a mask. And turns out she's pregnant.
well, my new one, but I haven't got to use it on anybody. I'm waiting for someone to say something, but no one said shit to me. I wanted it to be like, well, I got 6 months to live. What do you say to that? I'm about to die in 6 months, motherfucker. What do you mean wear a mask? Fuck you.
Right? I mean, just hit them with something like that. Well, how would they react? They'd probably immediately start apologizing, but
I'd be like, shit, man. But shit, I'm only just, I'm just trying to live the last of my life, or even say less, man. Like, man, I'm dying next week.
Yeah. For me, I just go with the simple fuck off communist, but I only had to use that once or twice. Usually people don't fuck around with me about that.
I just go, or you could say, like, you know, I'm not down with CIA foreign policy, man.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with that shit.
I like the way you're saying to, like, twist the narrative on them with the wokeism and, you know.
That's what I do all day, man.
The inherently racist, institutionally racist society and government. You want me to follow those orders? Okay.
Well, yeah,
white supremacy.
I think that's what I tell them. I guess you're all about white supremacy then. Oh, I didn't know that. It's kind of weird. And they don't like that because they feel like turning on them. But the reason it's easy for me to do that is because they're attacking me like I'm a right winger when I'm just a regular person. I'm an independent libertarian leaning. You know what I mean? That's like I don't know, that Tom Woods is kind of trying to get me back into libertarianism, because every time I listen to him, he's got some good shit to say, but I just don't like the hierarchy of it, you know, like a lot of it's just bullshit, like, and they always push candidates that like fail, but that's beside the point. So they come at me with these arguments where I'm like, I don't give a fuck, man. You're telling me about cops? I probably hate cops more than you, motherfucker. Like, you're barking up the wrong tree. Like, they don't get that, but it's fun. I have fun with them, but outside, like in the real world, I don't really get anybody doesn't really say shit. Like, I just kind of do my thing. They do their thing, and no one really... at all. Like, but I haven't really gone out to like bars and shit. I haven't put myself in those scenarios, but I'm talking about the day to day. Like the bars like that I've gone to is like just like with friends, you know what I mean? Nothing big, because I don't know how people are going to be. Like, if I'm drinking and then like someone's like, man, I don't know, man, how it's going to go. It might turn out bad. So I was like, I don't know if I should do that. Like, I haven't been that ballsy yet. And here's I have a few other clips, but I'm kind of just gonna, they're too much COVID. I don't want to get too much. I mean, you know what I mean?
We've been on it for a while, but there's been so much with it.
I'm gonna end it with this, and it's not like necessarily funny, but it's bitch ass Jimmy Kimmel. And it's again with this whole like, it's this segment of these doctors telling us about how important they are and how smarter they are than us, and they know more than us, that like trying to put it again, this propaganda of, doctors are the know-all, you know, they have all the answers and do not question them. And they just kind of like cuss us out, and it kind of irks me because it's this whole thing of that they're superior to us again with the, to me, I think it's a chip on my shoulder with all these like college educated people. Like, I'm not saying that they don't have any knowledge. Obviously they have knowledge, but they're also looking at it through one lens. I'm looking through another lens, and I have information too. And they're saying that our information's invalid. And I feel like this was a spit in every American's face.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. An actual medical doctor.
I've practiced medicine for 21 years.
I am a critical care nurse.
I've been a nurse for 16 years.
I spent 4 years in undergraduate school,
then 4 years in medical school,
and then another 5 years as a resident in emergency medicine.
Look at all of my diplomas.
I worked a second job to put myself through nursing school.
I'm 53 now, and I won't have my student loans paid off till well after I retire.
I can name every organ in your body and tell you exactly what it does.
Did you know there are between 60 and 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body? I know that because I've studied human bodies.
Did you know the human body has 205 bones? Well, you're wrong. It's actually 206.
I did know that because I'm a doctor.
Did you know that eating raw ginger cures cancer?
You did? Good, because it doesn't.
I've saved people's lives.
I've cracked open a chest and manually beat a human heart.
I've even delivered some babies in the back of cars.
Do you know how many people have shown me weird skin things at parties and asked me if they were dying?
Too many.
My life is spent trying to improve and save yours.
Oh, but you read something on Facebook?
Your friend from high school who sells jewelry? She posted it?
The one who's 53 and still builds dollhouses?
You heard what? On whose podcast?
Is he a doctor? No? Scientist? No?
Can he name one of the ingredients in the vaccine?
Can he point to his gabella?
Then tell him to shut the
up. And Bordello's right here, by the way.
Isn't that polio shot we gave your kid? And then your kid not getting polio? Well, those two things are related.
How about this? You do your job, I'll do mine.
Get the vaccine.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine. Roll the f*** up and get the vaccine.
And tell your friend on Facebook to stick to jewelry.
See what I'm saying, man? It's just like a whole like talking shit. But one thing I thought was interesting there, the dude mentioned about his student loans. And I got to say about this. So doesn't that mean
that's what stood out to me too.
He's talking about his student loans. And I was like, well, doesn't that mean that you'll be easier to compromise? Because somebody from Pfizer's be like, hey, here's a fat check. And he's like, sure, I'll push that medicine for you. Like, you just.
Exactly. And they'll get their bonuses for every prescription of a particular, pharmaceutical substance that they are being incentivized to issue out to their patients, which they may or may not really need.
And another thing I like to point out is, okay, they want to attack people. Like, first of all, podcasting is the future, bitch. Like, fuck Jimmy Kimmel. He's just mad because all the fucking Tonight shows are about to fucking die. You know what I'm saying? Like, he killed
exactly.
this to death.
He's about
to
get out of a job. That's why they're going after the podcasting.
Yeah, they're hating on the podcasting. But also, I think that, like, they failed to mention, like, what about all the fucking doctors that are disagreeing with this? How come you don't go at them? Oh, they are also doctors. They also had student loans. They've also saved lives. They've also been on the front lines. There's tons of doctors, literally hundreds, that have signed like stuff and sent, like, especially when they were talking about ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and all that stuff. And there's even a new medicine they're working on. And the ingredients, this is no lie, it's going to be, I think, something, I can't remember the first one, but it's going to be that, ivermectin, and hydrochloroquine.
Both of them? Okay. I mean, at least they'll probably be willing to have a peer-reviewed study and, a full FDA review, not just some bullshit emergency authorization, you know?
I challenge any of those doctors that did that little skit on Jimmy Kimmel to go debate these other doctors, but they won't. Like, they'll talk shit about me and you. They'll be like, yeah, this guy on Facebook or podcast or whatever. Okay, you can talk shit about me. Go ahead all day. Let me go line you up to, like Adele Bigtree. Let me go line you up with, like, you know what I mean? Like, some of these other doctors that are out there. What's his name? Yeldon. Like, you know what I mean? All these guys, they know way more than me, man. And I'm getting my information from them and people like that. Go debate them. I mean, we'll set it up. I bet you we could get a GoFundMe to start that and get, you know what? We'll even get you paid. So because we know that's the only way we could get any of these high profile doctors on the left that are talking shit. They're the ones that are all about COVID. Let's do it. Let's set up an event. We'll do it on pay-per-view, get you some money. Let's have this transparency debate one-on-one. Prove it. And they're like, there is no debate. They're all like, there's only data. What? They say science, there's only data. There's no debate. Come on now, man. And then we show you the data and you reject it. People like Tom Woods putting out that that ebook. Again, you could always catch it in my my link tree. He has some other free ebooks too. I'm going to try to update it. But it's CNN. It's charts CNN forgot. And it shows all the charts of when people wore masks and when it started going up and when people did. It's just crazy how they leave those studies out.
That's good stuff right there. That's good info.
And these are the things that they're telling us we're idiots. Okay, maybe I am an idiot, but I'm an idiot that has more information than you at this moment because you're not reading any of this other information. You're seeing a small sample size of some data that someone showed you that's biased data, and you're going off that, and you're telling me I'm wrong. I'm not even saying that you're wrong. I'm saying that look at this other information I have. Look at it. Let's discuss it, and they won't even do that.
Yeah, and I mean, no one at all discusses, especially on that sort of side of the quote-unquote science, discusses the Stanford study on how masks can cause long-term damage and harm.
Even the Dutch study.
The Dutch study as well. Well, that's slightly different because that's discussing the ability of masks to prevent the spread of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
The Stanford one discusses potential harm from the mask wearing long-term effects.
And that was a question I was asking from the get-go. Remember, I was always saying, like, okay, you want me to wear a mask, what's the long term? And they're like, oh, there is no long term. How do you know?
They don't. The thing is, though, you're cutting off a percentage of your oxygen. Oxygen depletion can cause the death of cells within your body and your bloodstream, and that can cause cancer. I mean, that's not a debate. That's actually how cancer is formed in a lot of circumstances.
And then now that all the big tech, like fact-checking, the way they have their algorithm set, and again, with all these snitches, because it's a lot of people reporting too, that that's how we're getting this. That's what's crazy. Like, they had to even backpedal. You know, now they're saying, like, ah, we made a mistake on, you know, fact-checking and banning the hydrochloroquine stuff. Then why are you doing it to other things? You're denying all these. They, you know how they say, like, you know, always believe a woman, but it's only believe a woman when it's like suits them, right? Like, all these women are having problems with their cycle. It's not like a coincidence. There's something going on. You have to look. They are looking into it now, but to brush it off, like, to all these people, like, oh, it's just anti-vax. So all these people are anti-vax. I find that hard to believe, because anti-vax was a small percentage, especially before this. And to group the people that are skeptical of this new vaccine to with all vaccines, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't be skeptical, but I'm saying a lot of people are just skeptical of this particular one. They've taken the other ones. They've done everything else. It's this particular one. And then when we ask questions, you dance around and give us no answers, and there's no transparency. So that leads us to be like, oh, you're full of shit.
Exactly. And they use these broad sweeping terms like to label anyone who's questioning the narrative as anti-vaxxer, and even to go so far as saying the anti-vaxxer community is completely white supremacist. Funny enough, there's people in the, you know, the actual free media and the truther community that are of minority backgrounds that question the vaccine themselves. I mean, just look at the Tuskegee experiments and everything there. There's tons of people of all, you know, religion, race, and creed that are questioning this. This is not about, you know, the big boogeyman they say it is, a white supremacy. It's a farce, but they just try and make people you know, these trigger words to compel them to go along with the narrative and be as passionate about them about it as they can.
Yeah, because I say, okay, it's about our health. It's about, it's important to help the American people. Well, then how come Flint's water's still fucked up? That shit's been going on like 7, 8, maybe almost close to 10 years now.
Yeah, I mean, the priorities are of the mob are very much dictated by the mainstream media. So, you know, what the media tells them to be mad about, the mob will willingly follow suit for the most part. I think more and more people are, you know, day by day are breaking away from that.
But they don't. The problem is that they don't realize that they're following mainstream media narratives, because a lot of them go, oh, I don't even watch the news. But they don't realize that their favorite celebrity, their favorite blue check mark, the person that's rallying them, are pushing those narratives, are listening to the news, are using this, has the same agenda. So it like throws them off. And that's why like those arguments don't always work, because we're like, dude, all right, CNN. They're like, I don't even watch CNN. I hate the news. But they don't realize that they're pushing the same exact narrative because they don't watch it. So they're only going off of the people that they follow. They're, like I said, they're blue checkmark buddies.
Precisely. You know, it's a whole agenda too. And it's kind of a levels of separation for, you know, big pharma, the corporate interests, and the government, and, you know, the elite in general, or the cabal, as you could say, you know, to have these proxies that are familiar faces to the mob, the plebs, I guess they would view us as. But they think it can work. I mean, I saw lots of pushes of various celebrities across different countries. In Europe, they're pushing different celebrities, of course, you know, whatever they think can appeal to
the common man, the common person. Yeah, like those demographics, they're putting all kinds of different stuff, like, you know, they're giving out free donuts in some states, they're giving out free beers, shots for beers. They got the Sam Adams thing,
they're doing that in California now too with microbreweries.
I'm just saying, if they're gonna if you're gonna buy it, if you're gonna try to buy me, right, man, you're gonna have to up that ante, man. You're talking about like 500 grand, a million, you know. Like, if I'm going to do some experimental shit, like, I need to have, I need to get financially paid and make sure everything's good.
I'm out of house.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, make this up to ante. That's what I'm telling people too. Like, all right, like, if they're giving out donuts and your dumbass got the vaccine for a donut, then you should have held down. You see this other dude coming up in a new Rolls Royce, you're going to feel like a dick. Yeah, Detroit is giving $50 out. Like, but man, that's chump change.
I saw that.
$50? Like, that's... See, but that's where they're trying to aim.
They're trying, you know, they're going to lowball for as long as they can. And then, you know, they're probably going to raise it up a bit, try and convince more people. And then it's going to, unfortunately, I think it's going to get kind of ugly on that front. They're going to start using the stick a lot more than the carrot.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how, this is how it shifts. Once there's at least like a 50% split, then they got power to it. You know what I mean?
Majority.
Because once they have a good like 40-50% of the people have taken it, those people are going to be on their side. Because first of all, they're going to be like, I had to take it. And you know how people are, because like people will get a ticket and they'll be like, oh, that guy was speeding too. And you're like, dude, you're the one that got caught though. Like, man, why are you going to try to rat on everybody else? You're the one that got caught. Like, fuck it. Like, just do what you got to do. If you try to figure your way out of it or just pay it or whatever that you have to do, that's what the mentality is going to be like. They're going to be like, well, I had to take the vax. Well, they can't. If I had to take the vaccine so I could fly, they can't fly. And that's where it's going to happen. And that's the negative part that people aren't seeing. Because I see a lot of people pushing, like, you know, the government won't do anything until the people are able to police themselves, because it helps them. Because it's, you can't with
300 realistically, they can't million. Do it.
Yeah, it can't. It's impossible, man. You have to have the people to reinforce. That's why, like, most people go, hey, we should have murdered people, right? Right. Okay, so then, like, they look out for that. They police it in some sense, or call the cops, or look out for things like that. And that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like people, oh, that guy doesn't have a mask. I'm going to write that down. What kind of license plate? They're going to be reporting people. And that's where it's going to get pretty tricky. That's where it's going to get into a mode where people aren't going to like that, because people who are private people, like, people aren't going to want you writing down your license plate. And people are already doing that and showing up to people's houses. And that's going to really get someone killed, because unfortunately you can't, it's a big, huge threat to come to somebody's house. Like, that's just like, to me, if you come to my house, I'm looking at it as like, you're trying to do something negative towards me.
People have been shot for trespassing and less.
Yep. For sure. And to come to my house, to me, that's telling me that you think that, you want to escalate something, because you're coming uninvited. It's not like you're saying, hey, I'm going to come over, let's have a discussion, blah, 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 blah. That's different. But these people are coming on, and they're always coming in groups. You know what I mean? Because obviously they wouldn't come by themselves, because they come into a group, 100, 200 people, they're going to think that they're more intimidating.
Well, but to it me, actually it's take, like, oh, it's going to, go ahead.
No, I was saying, like, it's just going to take a turn for the worse, because then people are going to start bringing other groups, and it's just going to get really bad, because when you do it to the wrong place, like, it's going to happen. It's going to be the wrong place. And it's just going to be these little fires that are constant. Like we were saying that, remember, everybody was saying it's going to be in chaos. Like what we said, I think, is coming more to light, is where there's just these little tribes everywhere that are causing little ruckus here and there. And they're trying to grow. They're trying to grow their numbers. They're trying to recruit more and more people. But there's other groups that are recruiting people too, whether on the truther side, the libertarian side, some of the militia side, some of the anti-government sides, or there's a lot of factors being to play. So there's a pool of people, and everybody's trying to, you know, grab from them and get the best, and trying to start their own sort of like play revolution of sorts, because they don't realize they're playing right into the CIA foreign policy. They're doing exactly what they want to be done, so they can get a federal police department. I mean, you know what I mean? A federal police agency. They can have everything connected. They want it to be centralized, and that's what they're pushing for, and people don't even realize it.
Yeah, I think there is definitely something to that, especially with, like, the whole, you know, narrative with every sort of incident that the, you know, local law enforcement has to go through, and especially in urban areas. I think that is a larger push towards a federalized police, kind of in we see in other countries. Mexico comes to mind a little bit. It's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way to see that. You know, FBI control rolling on your streets on a day-to-day basis, so to speak. But I definitely think that's in the realm of possibility. I think we'll also see a lot more privatized or private security or private police forces. But it's kind of a scary time to live in, but just have to stay positive. And I think the biggest takeaway from that in terms of how to avoid maybe getting swept under the rug is to organize within your community and find like-minded individuals and network intently to kind of form a block of concentrated political will. Cause that's what it's going to take. You have to start small. You have to have one-on-one conversations and kind of bring people into your circle, but it's achievable, and there's more of us than them. So if one of us, or each and every one of us that listens to this podcast or participates in this podcast, you know, links up with one person that they don't know where they stand politically, but maybe kind of come to a common ground and a trust. I mean, this kind of stuff takes a lot of time. You know, it's unfortunate because time is against us at this point.
I say, like, just kind of do what they did in Arizona and Utah. Like, see, like, little events, like, where you can go, you know what, I see that there's enough parents in here that don't want masks. I don't want masks. Well, let's do something. And then the next step is, like, with vaccines. And I think that these things are going to also spread. So there's on both sides. Like, everybody's trying to spread their message right now because it's kind of we're in an age not only of information and disinformation, but we're in a world of where nobody really, you know, there was always, at least for me growing up, you know, people didn't like the government or whatever too, but like there was always this like, okay, we're Americans though. But now it seems to be like people don't even like to be called an American. Like they don't even want to like associate with the country, not just the government, but like the country whatsoever. And a lot of them feel like there's like they want to start their own stuff. And there's even some of these groups that are like buying land. I heard these one group and they got like lost.
Black Hammer or whatever.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They're in Colorado. That's interesting. I'll keep an eye on it. You know, I say more power to them. If you want to go off to an uncharted part of the country and buy up that land and try and form a little community, go for it. You know, let more power to you. Like
more power for sure. But don't tell me how I should think and how I should talk and how I should be approach life. That's the problem. We have to be more like. Not just us, like I know that we do, but the other side has to understand that too. Be like, I'll respect your opinion. I will like respect you as a person if you respect me. If you do not respect me, then I'm not going to respect you either. And it's going to be a whole different world. We're going to act differently towards each other.
Well, you're preaching very much against the leftist dogma that says, you know, no prisoners. And if you don't agree with our ideologies, you're basically evil and the enemy. You know, there's the old saying, the right thinks the left is misguided. The left thinks the right is evil. And now I think it's a little different. Probably they both think they're evil, but.
And then there's the ones in the middle that are like, dude, you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a while now. You not realize, probably not going to get anywhere like this. But it is what it is.
Yeah, see, that's what I was talking about, like what Kiel was saying right there. That's become, isn't that what we're talking about earlier, sovereign non-citizens? Yeah, like I was looking into that too, man. I don't know much about it, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And it's like, maybe that is the solution coming forward, especially like
if... Well, if they do a vaccine passport scheme, I think that's kind of the only option, really. Basically, by default, yeah. If you don't go into it.
I don't see it happening though. I mean, like, obviously I could be totally wrong. I just think that what we're seeing is you're gonna see, like I said, nothing had got bad enough yet. You know, now it's starting to get a little bit worse for people, and it's affecting people's lives, and people are stepping up. Like we're seeing in Utah and Arizona, and I think we're gonna see more of that. We're seeing like protests in Florida and Texas over mask wearing, and you're gonna see it now that they're gonna start trying to vaccinate the kids. You're gonna see some real fireworks because that's one thing. It's like, come on, man. Perfect day to say this, you know what I mean? Like, don't go after a mama bear's cub, man. They're gonna, you've seen it time and time again. They've showed videos, like all my life I've seen videos of where women have been like attacked but with their kids, and they have like super strength, or they've lifted a car off their, you know what I mean? Like, it's because that adrenaline of that's your whole world. So I think it's gonna get real ugly once they start trying to bring the kids into it. They haven't brought them into it yet. It's one thing to tell us to get a vaccine, but when you start telling and mandating that children have to get it, which a lot of the teachers union are pushing for, I think it's going to get real.
Oh, yeah. And
hell, and I think for them.
Hell hath no scorn like a mother's fury. Appropriate day for that, for this discussion. And it's a beautiful thing. I thought the Arizona, you know, school board run, kind of running them out of there over the mask mandates might have been a one-off. I was slightly pessimistic about that. But we see it happen again in Utah. You know, they take another school district. And I think the potential is there to go across the board. But it you know, it's up to you. If you're hearing this, you're a parent, you have kids in your school district, and they're mandating your kids to wear masks, go to your next school board meeting. You know, you will find like-minded parents there if you don't know them already, and you will have the opportunity, and you should make your voices heard, stand up. And if they're so afraid of having the actual discussion and they walk out, take their seats, step up, run your communities yourselves. Because if you don't, the bureaucrats will come in from out of your area and they will try and run it for you.
And it's going to be worse. And also come prepared. You know what I mean? And come with some common sense, logical arguments that other parents are going to go, yeah, you're right. Like, you know what I mean? Because you're not trying to win over the board. You're trying to win over the parents. You got to remember that. Like, the board. And remember, Saki talked about this a little bit, our circle back girl right there. She was talking about, someone asked her the question of, like, you know, the CDC getting influence from the second largest teachers union in the United States of America. And she goes, you know, it's normal for the CDC to talk to, like, you know, groups involved, which I get. I'm like, okay, you're right. But my question is, then why don't they ask the kids and the parents? Because that's the other part of the group. You're asking the teachers who are going to have a biased opinion because they work there. And they're like, man, of course, like, some want vacation, some don't want to be there, some hate their job. So you're going to get a biased opinion. You should, if you're asking them, then you need to ask the parents and the children as well.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing is, I know what district you're talking about. That's the LA school district, right? Los Angeles. So, you know, they're trying to roll in these, you know, from very far-leaning blue state policies through the CDC across the country on a federal level. This is just, you know, a very subtle but direct way of kind of forcing the mandate across the board. And it's got to be stood up to at every front. And it starts with you and your kids in your local area and your family.
Yeah, it's game on now. Like I said, like, it's one thing when they're talking about us. It's one thing when they're shutting down businesses. It's one thing, like, yeah, that rallies certain people. But everybody on all levels, it's going to be something where people are scared, because you're not going to want to just jab your kid. Well, I know there will be people that, like, are going to hype it up. And that's why they have these influencers. And I'm telling you, all these influencers, whether a snitch or what, and I will say this, most of these influencers that are getting money from Pfizer and all that shit that are promoting this COVID hysteria, they are the most non-talented people and unoriginal people I've ever met in my life. Well, I've never met them, but, you know, I've seen, because, like, their shit's not funny. They don't even, like, at least if you're going to be making some propaganda, make it good. You know what I mean? At least, like, when you see it on, like, a network television, you're like, well, that's pretty good, though. You know what I mean? You see it on a movie screen, you're like, they put it together. This little cheap, cheesy shit that they're doing, I mean, at least that one Pfizer one was at least quality, like, sounding. But most of them sound cringy. They sound stupid. They don't know how to write a song. They don't even know how to shoot a video. They have no fucking skills whatsoever. But they feel like they're an influencer because they have a camera and they can now have a backdrop with TikTok and they can put some music in it. Man, you're like, get your non-talented ass off the fucking internet and let us motherfuckers that talk shit and that really fucking run this shit go back to the Wild West days, how we did it, and fuck you.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you're selling your platform and your voice out to the biggest corporate interests, the pharma industrial complex, to shill their product to your followers, you're a puppet. You're nothing less than a puppet. You're not an artist. You're not an influencer, because I guarantee a big portion of your audience is probably unfollowing you immediately. If they're not, then
or they're just following to talk shit.
Exactly. Couldn't say it better myself.
Well, they feed off of it, though.
They do.
That's fine, but, like, I challenge them all the time. I like poking fun at them. Hopefully they see some of this shit and they come challenge me back, because I would love for them to talk shit. Come dox me. I don't give a fuck. Well, first of all, you ain't going to be able to, but good luck. And if you do, don't come to my house, because then, you know, that's a whole different level. But
hey, right here, house, if you like.
Yeah, but you can debate me anytime right here on live. Look, you don't even have to leave your home. No. You can come right on Instagram Live and we'll debate anytime, anywhere, man.
And we're not hostile. We're friendly here. I mean, we'll have a discussion. We'll be polite. And we're not going to make fun of you to your face. No, just kidding. We'll probably have a little bit of banter if the chemistry is good. But, I mean, we'll have a good discussion and debate. But the thing is, they don't take the opportunity to actually, you know, represent their ideas. I would love to see it happen, though.
Yeah, I've been trying, man. Because I would like to see, because I try to get all aspects of, like, because me, I'm really in the middle. Like, I'm, like, super, like, intrigued to hearing everybody's opinions. But when I hear the same opinion over and over again, I'm like, dude, I've...
And you're like, shit, I saw that on CNN 2 days ago. Yeah.
And then, like, 1,000 Twitter posts with the same verbiage, and you're like, dude, like, let's have a discussion. Let's see what you really think. Like, but the problem is, a lot of these people, too, that are promoting this is their time to shine. They don't have friends. They're not good at talking to people. You know what I mean? This is their first chance of actually having people like them. So they're enjoying this moment. And I'm like, I get it, but you're not helping anybody. All you're doing is just feeding this ego that eventually is going to die, because people are going to see through your bullshit, because all your, especially the ones that are ratting and telling on people, like, that shit's going to get old, because you're going to rat on the wrong person and it's going to be bad. Like, either it's going to, and like we showed last week, it looks like it'd be bad for that, like, girl Savannah. It looks like she had stole fucking information from her work, from the database of Walgreens to dox people. It's just stupid. It's just for these likes, for this attention. Like, man, get over yourself, man. If you want to have real discussions, then you can come on here anytime you want. You know what I mean? I'm out of shit. I don't know if you got anything else.
I mean, I have a few things, but I'll just real quickly, Honeywell admits sending F-35, F-22 part drawings to China. Honeywell has agreed to pay $13 million in fines and compliance costs after company officials sent multiple engineering and technical documents to China with details of multiple military aircraft, including the Lockheed Martin F-35 and F-22, over a seven-year period, the U.S. Department said in May 3rd. And so it's just kind of interesting thing to highlight, because they, you know, they got a $13 million fine, but selling those blueprint schematics to the CCP, they made multiple billions. So it's a little slap on the wrist from the Biden administration. You know, the corruption runs deep in this one, and I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah, and that kind of reminded me of that little story about Bill Gates even talked about it, how they didn't want to give the patent of the vaccine to India. Yep. They want to only manufacture it and give it to them. And that was a big controversy. He said they couldn't, but he's lying. He's a full of
shit.
He
wants to hold on to his corner of the market there.
Yeah, he wants that monetary value, man. Like, why would he give it up? Because then they're going to make all the money. They're going to make less by selling the blueprint. I mean, for the vax. And they want it. They want to just distribute it. They want you to be. They want to be the connect.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the thing about dealing drugs, is you don't want to, get in high off your own supply, and you don't want to let other dealers in on your corner of the market or on your block.
And that is true. Epstein did not kill himself.
Absolutely not. No, not a chance. Everybody knows. Funny, even on Mother's Day, it's funny. Like, I had a little debate with my mom the other day, and she's all like, you know, I don't think Epstein killed himself. And she's like very much like watches the news networks and stuff. I've tried to get her to stop, but
habit. I mean, it's just,
I love her all the same, but it was funny. Like, she just came to that conclusion the other day. I'm like, yep, he didn't. It was funny, man.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this show. You know, you could catch us on Apple and Spotify, and I think the Google, and there's a couple other ones like I've noticed that we're on. You could check us out on those. We're uploading. I'm actually catching up on it. I'm doing pretty good on trying to upload them faster now, and I've gotten the sound a little bit better, trying to add a little more shit. You could check our other podcast out with me and my homie King Mega. It's called Over the Influence Podcast. It's more of a shit talking. We're also against cancel culture on there too. Spotify's already trying to get us off there, because we talk a lot of shit. But we got that, the Over the Influence Podcast. We just dropped our second episode. Got more music on the way. You can go check out my music video, Christian Brothers Shut Them Down, on YouTube. I got the Sean Chris with Taylor Sacrifice, Frank Gallagher, Mania 5150, a couple other songs that are on my Apple and Spotify and all that. Check it out. You know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. Also, shout out and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And have a great day.
go all the way live, spotted his street cipher, decided to rhyme. My homie Gabe told me my timing was right, despite the people not buying into the hype. Had to kill every freestyle to prove I was tight, calling the woke call like every single night. Finally winning a few of them verbal fights. Went to the 106 studio with fame in my sights, and fairly fair was shocked to sail to see I was white. Her people act like assholes, the usual type. Parking lot assassin, battle gone wrong, turn violent, dodging police sirens, a bullet silences that snitch smiling. Down and dash, so on cash, racking bottles, staying trash. A mask, a role model, smashing the gas. So break bread, a break check. What a waste of mess, now pay your respects. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Young, drunk, wild, and free on a robbing spree, with 3 nights of sleep out of a week. Counting bars, not sheep, surrounded by sporty thieves. Damn, looking so fresh and so clean, even back in the days in the 8th grade, I was packing a blade. Motherfuckers didn't really want play. This child met his destiny, they saying my name, in hopes I finally go away and lay in my grave. The hate and doubt fuels my passion. Watch the industry panic once they get a glimpse of Chuck Manson. Tripping on Hell's Bells, passed out in a holding cell. Being processed, fingerprinted in a county jail. What you know about your pops dying at 13? Hustling stolen CDs on the streets to support your dream. Fuck that, this my J-O-B. And no longer will you see me working for free. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Mama, I like to brighten your day for the darkness I made. Playing the game of living day to day. The pain I bring, you prayed I'd find my way. Finally saved, fearing I was too close to my grave. Filled with violence and rage, follow the fame. Problems amazed, lost in a haze. Stuck in the days with a starstruck gaze. Barely could picture the face. Earthquakes, heavy heart sank. Constantly shaking my faith. You was hoping this childish phase would fade out. Ryan Reynolds trying to keep a safe house. Mama, I'ma turn the bass down, and I'm truly sorry for my devilish way. I promise I'ma find a way out. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Thank you, mama, you made me a better man. Back then I couldn't understand, and now we moving on up, and now we moving on up. Mama, it don't feel the same unless you're by my side. Come in here, heal my pain. I'm moving on up. Mama,